Now, I did not grow up with the opportunity to be part of a church like this that is called to do the things that God has called us to do. I just didn't. And I can go home now to my home church in Minnesota, and almost everything is kind of the same as it was 40 years ago or 45 years ago. And I just am thankful that God has given us so much responsibility. You know, to whom much is given, much is required. And so we just want to let you know that you're here for a reason. And I'm going to talk about that today. I've been talking for several weeks about allowing the Lord to point us in the right direction as we start the new year. And I know we're in February now, so we've gotten past the first month of the year, but we wanted to just be conscious of the fact that we're not going to get to where we're supposed to be by accident. We don't want to wake up in July and find out that we've been going the wrong way for 6 months. So we want to start looking at the Lord. The Lord calls us to look at his face. And when as Pastor Miriam was saying, when we have sin in our life, then we hide our face from God. He doesn't hide his face from us, but we hide our face from him. That's why he hates sin so much, because it robs us of the ability to look at him with confidence. So we've got to look at him. We've got to recognize that there's a remedy for sin. And then we look at the Lord's face, and we want to behold him on a continual basis, because as we do, we're changed. And we want to set our minds and point our minds in the direction of truth and spiritual things. And to do that, we've got to be in the Word. Yes, yes. And we have to have the Word of God at the forefront of our mind. We have to hide the Word of God in our heart. And then we want to begin to move, because faith without works is dead. So our feet have got to be pointed in the right direction. And we've got to begin to move in the things of God. This morning, quickly, I want to talk to you about missing the point. Years ago, Pastor Miriam and I were called to go to Brazil. And we thought we knew why. And we thought we knew the whole point of God calling us to go there. Her parents were already there. We had visited them in 1983. And I saw that there was just a real issue with praise and worship there. They didn't have the kind of praise and worship or the level of praise and worship that we had here in the United States. And so I just felt like the Lord said, if you stay here, you can do praise and worship, you can use the talent that I've given you, and you can do that if you want to, but you're just gonna be another voice. It's almost gonna be like competitive, because there's so many at that time that were doing what it is that I've called you to do. And so don't assume that I want you to do it here in the U.S. I want you to do it in Brazil. I want you to go over to Brazil. So that's what I felt in my heart. And that's what really launched us out. So we bought equipment, and when we bought the equipment, it was seized in customs by the Brazilian customs officials in Rio de Janeiro, which was just shocking to us and heartbreaking, because we had all the paperwork, and they would not let it go. They just said, we are not going to let this go. And so we felt like we were stuck, and that we couldn't do what God had called us to do. If we had gotten discouraged or had panicked in that moment, we might have just said, well, now we just might as well go home. And we could have gone back to the United States and just felt like there's really nothing for us to do here, because we're going to have to go back. We're going to have to go back and try to raise some more money. We were embarrassed to do that, because how do you go back to people that have been generous and have sacrificially given and say, you need to do it again? You know, how do you make that argument? How do you face those people and tell them that the equipment is no longer in our possession? Well, why isn't it? And how did that happen? And you're not really going to be able to satisfactorily answer their questions. So it kind of takes the wind out of your sails, and we could have decided that was the end of it. But we didn't, and we stayed. And 2 years later, miraculously, the equipment was released. And there's a long story behind that. And Pastor Marco, our good friend from Rio, is involved in it. And my father-in-law is involved in it. But God loosed all of that equipment. By the time that happened, everything in our mindset had completely changed, and we were seeing things from a completely different angle, and we realized that the whole point of us coming to Brazil had nothing to do with praise and worship, and it had everything to do with the local church. And it was at that point that God began to really speak to us about the local church, and that's where I turned the corner and began to accept that God had plans for me, and they weren't just singing, but God had plans for me to preach, and God had plans for me to lead, and God had plans for me within the local church. And that needed to happen, and the only way that that could happen was for God to move sort of unusually in the way that he moved. and you would think that God could do it this way or God could do it that way, and God has 100 ways to get one thing done, but God is God and he does what he wants. Amen. And so that's what happened. That's what happened. Now, in our lives right now, there are things that are happening that can be just as confusing to us. And we'll say, well, Lord, I thought it was going to be this way, or I thought it was going to be that way. I thought you said this, and I thought you said that. Now, God didn't lie to us because we did praise and worship there. But we just didn't do it traveling all over the country and itinerating. We did it in one church, and we didn't just go around to do it ourselves, but we trained people, and we trained musicians, and we worked with that church and developed praise and worship within that church, because the gifts that were given to us were not for us to just run around and market them from church to church and place to place like a traveling salesman, but the things that God gave us, the whole point in being talented like that was so that we would build up and edify the local church. And to do that, you got to stay. That would be like trying to move around all over the place and raise somebody else's kids every 2-3 years. And then turn around and leave them and go off to another family and try to raise those kids. And then leave those kids and go off to another set and try to raise them. It wouldn't really be a very satisfying experience, would it? The whole point of family is that family should stick together. And so we got it and realized this is what God had for us. But there are things happening today. And just because we got it then doesn't mean we get it now. And we can look at everything in life and not realize that there's a point to it. And life is brief and it happens really fast, and you could wake up one day and realize that apparently you missed the point of the whole thing. That God had something in mind for you and you didn't get it. That this was happening not by chance or not by accident, but it was happening by design. And that God has given us the ability to be able to hear his voice, and we have the ability to be able to have a mind that is sensible enough to be able to understand when he explains to us. Oftentimes we think our mind is for us to figure it out, but our mind is really designed to hear what he has to say and understand it. There's a difference between you trying to do it by yourself and you listening to him and being able to comprehend what it is that he's saying. Don't you realize that with your kids, you really get shocked when your kids start thinking for themselves, don't you? It's scary, ain't it? Because you want them to just not do that for as long as possible. Stop thinking, stop thinking, stop thinking. Use your head to listen to what I'm saying and process what I'm saying and yield to what I'm saying. And when a child suddenly gets to the point where they stop doing that and they start thinking for themselves, it's terribly frightening to us parents, isn't it? Parents, come on, where are you? So God wants us to listen to him, and he wants us to get the point of the whole deal. And so I'm going to read a scripture that sort of illustrates what it was like for Jesus to try to work with people. And it wasn't easy, and it still isn't. And the scripture says, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him," Jesus, "to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did?' But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.'" The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Over and over again, you see this repeated. Jesus tells the disciples something and they don't get it. They miss the point, totally. He deals with Pharisees who are completely missing the point of the law of Moses. The law of Moses was given for a purpose, there's a point to it, and they were missing it. And because they were missing it, Jesus said to the people, listen to them when they teach the word, but don't copy their lifestyle because they don't get it. If they really got the purpose of the word and the point of the word, they'd live differently, and they don't. So they're hypocrites and they're liars, and you can't trust them. So don't follow their example in their lifestyle. But because they're teaching the Word of God, have respect for the Word and listen to the Word. Maybe you'll get something better out of it than they're getting out of it, because they're missing the point of the commandments altogether. Every time Jesus would heal somebody on the Sabbath, they would completely miss the point, and they would focus on the wrong thing, and they'd be outraged that he did some work on the Sabbath, and he would say, that's not the point of the Sabbath. You're missing the whole point of the Sabbath. You're so legalistic and blind that you can only understand it in the way that you want to understand it. Every time Jesus did something, the disciples would listen to what he had to say, what he would teach, and they would listen to a parable. And then he would hear them murmuring in the background, knowing that they didn't have a clue. They were talking among themselves, and what did he say? Did you understand what he said? I can't figure this out. He's talking about seeds. He's talking about farming and lambs and lost coins. And I mean, what does this mean? What's the whole point of this? And Jesus would not necessarily hear everything that they were saying, but he would know that they didn't get it. And he would say, you guys don't get it either. And you're dense and thick-headed too, and you don't get the point. You don't understand what I'm trying to get at. Jesus said one time that it wasn't what went into you that defiled you, it was what came out of you. And they couldn't figure that out. They thought, well, we don't know what that means. What's he talking about? Why doesn't he speak plain English or Aramaic or something? Because we don't get it. We don't understand. He said, don't you understand? The whole point of that is to illustrate the fact that it's about your heart. And what goes into your stomach is just eliminated out of your eliminatory tract. And that's a nice way of saying you know what. But it just goes. It just goes you know where. And what comes out of your heart is different. That's the thing that defiles you. What ruins your relationships is not what happens in the bathroom. What ruins your relationships is what comes out of your mouth. And those are the words that destroy. And that comes out of a heart that is full of wickedness and full of evil. So they couldn't understand the point of his stories. They couldn't understand the point of his teaching. They didn't know why he was there. They kept saying, when will the kingdom come? When are the Romans going to go? When is the Messiah going to take the throne of David? And we're going to be a free people and free from all of this oppression. And Jesus said, you don't get the whole point of me being here is not to establish a political kingdom. Sometimes, and I'm not going to get into this because I'll get ahead of myself, because I'm going to have to talk about this another time. But I mean, sometimes we just don't understand why we're all here. So we'll get caught up in politics too. We'll get caught up in this. We'll get caught up in that. And it has nothing to do with the reason why we're here. But that's for another day. So I want to touch on some things that have to do with what happens if we miss the point, and things that are important to us. And we need to get it, don't we? If we want to really live the life that we're supposed to live. And the first thing that I want to talk about is just the whole point of life in general. What is the point of living? I mean, why are you here in the first place? Why are you taking up space? Why are you using up resources? Why are you breathing air? Why are you here? And many people just don't even know. They have no idea why they're here. They have no sense of purpose. They have no sense of direction. It's difficult, isn't it, when all of the feedback that you're getting just makes you more and more confused. Because the people that are supposed to love you sometimes don't, and the people that are supposed to receive you sometimes reject you. The people that are supposed to tell you things or give you affirmation or try to give you direction, they don't know either, so it's all wrong. And then that adds to our confusion, and we run around looking in every direction and looking at everyone, trying to get them to tell us or trying to get something out of them to help us to know what the point is. And the only person that really understands what that is God. I like the wisdom books in the Bible. I like Proverbs. I like Ecclesiastes. I ask God for wisdom every day. I think wisdom is one of the greatest things that any person can walk in. The Bible tells us that. It says it's better than silver and gold. It's better than physical strength. It's better than talent. It's better than anything else. And so when I read these wisdom passages, it really feeds me. It really strengthens my heart. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, in the last chapter, chapter 12, verse 13, from the Amplified Translation of the Bible, the whole point of life is summed up very succinctly. And it says, when all has been heard, the end of the matter is, fear God, worship him with awe-filled reverence, knowing that he is Almighty God, and keep his commandments. For this applies to every person. Every person. Fear God and keep his commandments. after everybody's done bloviating, after everybody's done expounding, at the end of the day, after all the sermonizing, the whole point of life is to know God personally, to worship Him with awe and wonder. The Bible says that God is looking for people that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. So it's not about rituals, and it's not about denominations. It's about the true and living God. Amen. Don't be confused now by all this multicultural nonsense. Jesus said that there is only one God who is the true and living God. The commandment is to worship God. Everything else is an idol. Anything other than is false. Anything other than the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is rooted somehow in a demonic thing. It just is. The people who are caught up in it may be nice. You may be related to them. You may work with them. But they are deceived like men have been deceived from the beginning, and they're on a false path. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in death. You look at the scriptures and you'll not find that there is room for all of this nonsense about calling God by different names and finding Him by different paths. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through me. And we're not prideful because we weren't born knowing that. We found that out because somebody preached the gospel to us. That was revealed to us because God is merciful and is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. So we don't say that pridefully, but the truth is the truth. And it's got to be told. And so that's what God has called us to do. The whole point of your life, the whole point of everything that's going on in your life is to bring you to a place where you'll be able to see that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He is your Savior. He is the one who died on the cross for your sins, that revelation will become real to you and you will get it. The Apostle Paul, who was not the Apostle Paul at this particular time, he was Saul of Tarsus. He thought the whole point of existence was the Jewish religion, and he thought that Judaism was it and the law of Moses was it. And anybody that came up against that, he thought the whole point of his existence was to crush it and stamp it out until what happened? Until he had a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he began to worship God in spirit and in truth. Then he stopped trying to come to the Lord and come to God the Father through good works. And he gave up on that and said, the only way that I can come to God the Father is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Allah does not have a son whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Buddha does not have a son whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ. No philosophy or ism. Only God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, has a son whose name is Jesus Christ, who took on the form of a servant, took on flesh, dwelt among us, and told us the truth and showed us the truth and revealed God the Father to us. Nobody else has a revelation of God the Father. Nobody else can say, no teacher can say, if you've seen me, you've seen God the Father. Only Jesus can say that with a straight face. So get off of all of that multicultural nonsense. You're tolerating what God doesn't tolerate. And you're trying to do it because you want to be nice. And you want to be humble. But that's not humility. If truth is truth, then it's not humility to deny it. It's foolishness. So we stand on it. It's the solid rock on which we stand. But you could miss the whole point of life if you miss Christ. You'll miss the whole point. You won't know God. You won't serve God. You'll be all religious and all puffed up with knowledge and further away from the truth, further away from God. The whole point of everything that is happening in your life is to bring you to a point where you'll humble yourself before God, open your heart and receive Christ by faith. And that's what God has brought you here for today. It's not just to check a box. It's not just because it's Sunday. It's because God is reaching out to you that you might fulfill your whole purpose for being here. and that is to be a worshiper who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Other people can tell you about the Lord, and you can't manufacture awe, you can't manufacture worship, you can't manufacture respect or fear, you can't do that. You can't insist on it, you can't legislate it. I can't make people who are not God-fearing somehow be God-fearing. You know, we say sometimes, you know, I'll put the fear of God in that. No, you won't. I mean, you just not. That's not going to happen. They might be afraid of you, but they won't be afraid of God. They won't respect God. They won't love God. They won't know God. The only way that you can really know God and be in awe of God is to have a personal experience with him. Not your parents, not your grandparents, but you. Not your spouse, but you. Not your kids, but you. And you may think you know all about God, but you're just like the person who thinks they know all about electricity, but you've never stuck your finger in a light socket. And just because you've read about it doesn't mean you know anything about it. I know about electricity. I have been shocked almost to death. I have felt its power. It's made my hair stand on end. There's hair jelly in it now, but I tell you what, it looked like this when electricity was flowing through me. And people can testify about it and talk about it. You can even be there when it's happening. But if it's happening to them and not happening to you, you still don't know. You just think you know. You could even talk about it and you could fool some people because you could talk about it so knowledgeably that they would take it for granted that you yourself have experienced its power. But then if they pressed you, you'd have to honestly say, well, no, I haven't gone that far. You know, I haven't done that. I haven't stuck my finger in the lights. No, I haven't done that. But I knew somebody who did. My mom did, my dad did, my brother did, my wife did. I never did, but I was there when they did. Whew, you should have seen them. One of the problems we have today in church is we got too few people that have actually plugged into God, and we've got people that have watched other people who are plugged into God who can talk about what it's like to be plugged into God, but they themselves have never experienced it, and that's why they're not filled with awe and wonder. Because when you stick your finger in that light socket, awe and wonder comes right along with the deal. It's awesome. I mean, and you've felt it. You know it. You don't know how it happened. You don't know how come you're even still alive. But whoa, it's life-changing, isn't it? You remember who you were before you ever did that, and you remember who you are afterward. You're a changed person because you've had an experience. So we are not going to pretend to you that this is it. Being in church, sitting where you're sitting, is not it. This is just designed to get the people together who have had that common experience of shock and awe because they plugged into the Lord through Jesus Christ and their life has been radically changed. And then we testify to that. The Bible says it's through preaching that, as foolish as it may sound, it's through preaching that that power is released so that people can plug into the Lord and have that same experience. It's through gathering together that power is actually in the room and accessible to those that will reach up and touch it by faith. But if you miss it, you miss the whole point of life. When all's been heard and every matter has been put to an end, it's summed up. Fear God, keep his commandments. Worship him with awe and reverence. Do what he says. Do what he says. We can miss the point in relationships. Relationships are interesting, and relationships are almost all-consuming. Almost everything that we watch on television involves the drama connected to relationships. Everything we read is about relationships. We'd have no stories to tell. Counselors would starve to death if it were not for relationships. People are consumed with them, and we think we know what the point of relationships is. We do things with marriage to help people to understand it better because they don't automatically know why marriage is. And they think it's about this, and they think it's about that, and they think it's about all kinds of different things. But God has a purpose in relationships, whether they be marriage relationships or friendships, and he tells us exactly what that is. In John 15, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another. Just as I have loved you, no one has greater love nor stronger commitment than to lay down his own life for his friends." The Bible talks about love, and it talks about laying down our lives for another person. And so when God puts me in a relationship, the purpose of that relationship is not what we often think that it is. We will often be deceived into thinking that the purpose of the relationship somehow has to do with me getting something. And if it weren't for me getting something, I wouldn't be in that relationship. Many of you have been hurt because people didn't get the point of the relationship in the first place. And as soon as they figured out that they weren't going to get what it was that they wanted to get, they dumped the relationship. Because their understanding of relationships was very one-sided and very selfish. Relationship is all about me. Relationship is all about my needs being satisfied. What about me? What about my happiness? The purpose of relationships is not happiness. The purpose, if you try to make it that, you'll be very unhappy. The purpose of relationships is not selfishness. Me, 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 me. It's not about using people. It's the purpose of relationships is not about sex. It's not about that. Jesus said the purpose of relationships involves your opportunity to keep this commandment. If you don't have relationships, you can't do this. You've got to have somebody that you're close enough to lay down your life for. You got to have somebody that you can sacrificially love and unconditionally love. You need that. It's good for you. It's the best. It's the key to all the things that you say that you want. And you're going to feel like you're going backwards. Our sinful nature says, no way. Happiness involves me getting what I want. And the Lord says, no, it doesn't. It's the opposite of that. It's about you laying down what you want and living for somebody else's good. That's what it's really about. Now, that is counterintuitive, nonsensical. You mean if I deny myself and I live for somebody else's good, that's going to be good for me? Absolutely. The most miserable people on the world are the selfish ones. They're nuts. They're the ones that are trying to make the whole world change to fit this pattern of you guys don't get it. You're here for me. And the Lord said, no, no, no. I didn't leave heaven and come to earth for me. I left heaven and came to earth for you, and you, and you, and you, and you, to lay down my life and give myself as a ransom for many sinners. And that's the purpose. That's what it's all about. And we're not born that way either. We're born selfish. We're born selfish. We stop crying like a baby, but not really. You know? Babies cry when they don't get what they want. And they will not stop, will they? They just don't. They cry and cry and cry to the point where you'll do anything and give that child anything they want for them to stop crying. Just stop. I can remember walking back and forth and just doing what, just desperate. Just stop crying. Just please don't cry. And then they stop and go to sleep, and you lay over the crib, and you try to keep your body pressed up against them, and your feet aren't even touching the floor anymore because you're leaning over so far. And you try to slowly slide your hands out and try to back off, and then as soon as you do, their little eyes open, and bah! And they cry again. So it's our nature. It's our nature. And if the collective cry, you know, could be heard, you know, spiritually, if we could hear the inner cry of each person who is just screaming because they're not getting what they want, screaming when they come to church because God's not giving them what they want, and people don't get it, and oh, we're just wound up so tight with that. And that's where we come from. And the Lord says, that is bondage. That's a curse. The worship of self, loving self, greedy for self, that is a curse. That's the result of the fall of man. And you got to be delivered from that. And the only way that you're ever going to be able to have life and abundant life is if you have it like God has it. And God doesn't live that way. God doesn't act that way. God looks to give love, to bless, giving, giving, constantly giving. The Bible says that he gives the sunshine to people who curse him as well as those who worship him. He gives the rain to those who curse him as well as those who love him. He's good all of the time. And so the whole point of my relationship with my wife is not for her to do everything for me and be everything for me, and I'm needy and I'm unhappy and she's supposed to make me happy and she's got to fulfill me. And some people see themselves as in a relationship where together we're whole, which means, you know, without him, I'm only 50%. Without her, I'm only 50%. So if you take two people that and you cut them in half, you can't put those two people together. You don't have two people anymore. You just have body parts. That's all you got. So it can't be 50-50. It's got to be me coming in 100% to understand the purpose for which God brought her into my life, and that is for her good, to bless her, to lay down my life for her. If she's not good, I'm not good. She's got to be good. It can't just be good for me. It's got to be good for her. And if it's not going to be good for her, then I can't go there. I can't do it just for me. I can't be happy if it's going to cost her. My happiness cannot come at her expense. I've got to pour into her life. She's got to rise up. She's got to say that my life has gone this way since I married him. People say, well, man, it must be tough to be a pastor's wife and you got to put up with all that stuff. My wife's not the pastor's wife. She's Pastor Miriam. She's a woman of God. She's a great preacher. She's a great teacher. She's a great leader. And I'm determined that I'm gonna lay down my life for her, give up the pulpit for her, make room for her. All right? Now, when I was younger, I didn't understand that. So if you're younger and you don't get it, that's okay. For a while. But not forever. At some point, you're not stupid. You gotta wake up and you gotta say, God, there's a point to this marriage. If you understood the truth, you would know that nobody in their right mind should ever be made to live with you. Sleep anywhere near you. Nobody. Why you are attractive to her is a mystery to all of us. We can't figure that out. I can't figure that out. Why? I can look at her and understand why I'd be attracted to her, but why me? Why did she? And then my youngest daughter said one time, Mom, why did you pick Dad? Like I had nothing to do with it. I did propose to her, you know, and pursue her ardently. But it's all about making that turn and getting the point. The point of this marriage is to bless her. The Bible says, husbands, learn to live with your wives in an understanding way so that your prayers will not be hindered. The wife then becomes the crown of her husband. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. And you start seeing, okay, this is the point of marriage. It's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. And God didn't say, so I'll send him a maid. I'll send him a concubine for those special moments. That's not what he said. So if you miss the point, you'll think you'll just be like a brute. You'll just be a brute. And you'll treat your dog better because you understand the purpose of a dog better than you understand the purpose of a wife. And you'll just be a brute. And the only cure for that is to step back and say, God, show me the reason why I'm not alone. Show me the reason why I'm not alone. Why should I be blessed with a spouse? Why should I be blessed with friends? What's the purpose of friendship? I want to be friends with this one because they have money. I want to be friends with that one because they have a pickup, and if I ever need to move, I'm going to sidle up to this person and make friends with them because I heard that they do this or they do that. And so we'll find out that somebody has something, and we feel like if I'm friendly to them, maybe I can get it from them. Maybe they'll help me. Maybe they'll do this. Maybe they'll do that. Be friendly with this guy, and maybe he'll help you get promoted. Be friends with that one. Network. What network? That's another code. That's a code word sometimes for be a phony. You're a networker? I don't want to be LinkedIn with you. Come on now. We don't understand the purpose of friendships. There's another scripture where Jesus says to the disciples, stop arguing about who's going to be the greatest among you. Just knock it off. Look at me. This is the example. I'm showing you what the purpose of relationships is. I came to serve and not to be served. If you want to be great, start serving others. If you want to be great, become somebody else's slave. We hate that word because it's such a pejorative term, you know, in our culture. But the Bible doesn't shy away from that. The Bible uses it, and there's really no other way to translate it unless you want to change what the word says. And it means what it means. So it says, unless you have that mindset, unless you're willing to do that, and just lay down your life and give up your freedom to go your own way and do your own thing, and you just look at other people and say, I'm here to serve you. Now, that doesn't mean we let people abuse us. It doesn't mean we become a doormat. It doesn't mean we let people have anything they want, whenever they want. Sometimes love means that you're tough and you're firm and you say, no, that's not right. That's not going to happen. And it's costing me something right now. I'm actually laying down my life because there's everything within me wants to be nice to you right now so that you'll like me. But I love you enough, I'm going to tell you the truth. Amen. You're out of line here. You need to stop it. I've had to tell people, listen, I love my mother, but I don't call her 5 times a day. You're abusing this relationship. I'm your pastor, but I'm not the guy you're going to call 5 times a day. You need to stop that, and you're going to stop that right now. I'm going to help you, and I'm not God, and I'm not going to let you make me a God. So stop it right now. This is not healthy. And you and I are going to have a healthy relationship, and that's it, or we're not going to have one at all. But you're not going to drag me down, and you're not going to make me sick. That's not going to happen. God didn't say to do that. But I'm supposed to look at you, and I'm supposed to consider your life and say, God, you know that I'm busy, and you know that there's this and this and this. But God, I trust you so much, and I love you so much, and I'm so aware of what you did for me and how you laid aside your life for me. How can I refuse somebody else? How can I say no to somebody else after all that you've done for me? There's just no way. And so we begin to do that, and we serve. And the Bible says when you do that, you don't become a doormat, you become a leader. You become great. If you want to be great, be the servant of all. Greatness comes through serving. The way in the kingdom to get this way, to go up, is to do what? Go down. Live low at the feet of Jesus. And as we do that, we find that there's a purpose for relationships. And some people are just users. They're just leeches. They just are. And the Bible identifies those people. The apostles warned church leaders about those people. Said, watch out for this guy. Watch out for that guy. Watch out for that. Named him by name. Named him by name. The leech in the scripture is the one that never says enough. So they'll suck the last dime right out of you. There are people that will go to church after church after church, and they'll suck everything they can out of that church, and then when that church is dry, they'll find another one, and they'll suck everything they can out of that one and suck everything out of that one, and that's all they want to do. They never serve. They never give. They're not there for they miss the whole point of relationships. You don't earn them. You can't pay for them. You couldn't work for them. You don't rate them. They're gifts from God. And when God gives you that person as a gift or that relationship as a gift, how does he expect you? You say, oh, good, it's a gift. Now it's mine to unwrap and pull everything out of it. No, this is something now for you to actually be able to pour into. I want you to pour into this relationship. You're gonna, what does the Bible say about sowing and reaping? You're gonna reap what you sow. Some people say, I don't have any friends. You've never sowed friendship because you don't know what it is. You don't even know what the point of relationships really are, but they have nothing to do with self. They have nothing to do with that. They have everything to do with God's purposes in bringing you together with that individual so that you can keep the commandments of the Lord and you can actually demonstrate that you know the Lord well enough to love unconditionally. You know the Lord well enough to lay down your life and follow his example. Otherwise, you just think you're a Christian. You just think you're all that in a bag of chips until God sends you a person and now says, okay, now live it out. Do it. Don't just talk about it. Do it. Do it. Sacrifice for them. Love them. Forgive them. Help them. Listen to them. Do what your flesh doesn't want to do. Your flesh wants them to do for you. Your flesh wants them to be the ones that give into your life. No, you press it into them, and you trust me, and you watch and see if my word does not come to pass in your life. I'll fulfill it. I will bless you. I'll bless your relationships. I'll cause them to prosper. I'll cause them to grow. And this is not a marriage seminar little moment here. This is about all kinds of relationships. You're there to serve that boss that you may not even like, but you're not there to just try to get through this. You're there to say, listen, how can I make this guy look better than he really is? He's an idiot. If somebody doesn't help him, it's going to be bad for him. I'm going to make him look good. He forgot this, he forgot that, he forgot this other thing. He doesn't have a clue. He doesn't have a clue. And I could laugh at him. I could see that my relationship to him is just one of those things. It's just bad luck. Or I could look at it as an assignment from God. It's my opportunity to do what does not come naturally, to do what Jesus would do. If Jesus were serving that individual, he'd lay down his life for that guy. He wouldn't check to see how much he liked him. He wouldn't check to see this or that or the other. He would just know what to do. He would just know what to do. And we know what to do too, don't we? If we're walking with the Lord. And that's what you do with your wife. That's what you do. That's what you do with your friends. That's why you don't come to church and just sit. You come to church and after a while, you just can't do that. You can't do it. Well, you can, but you can't. You gotta do something for somebody. You have to. Some of the sickest people in the world and people who are never gonna get better, they're just never gonna get better. They're never gonna get right. They're gonna be depressed. They're gonna stay depressed are the ones that can only think about themselves. That's right. They're consumed with me, 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 me. And the Lord knows that the antidote to that is a relationship. And if we have a relationship that is predicated on the purpose of God, if we understand the point of it, we'll realize that this is gonna heal me. This is gonna help me. God's gonna be with me now, and I've got an opportunity that I didn't have before to do some things that are gonna result in my own well-being, and I'm gonna experience joy, and joy is stronger and better than happiness. I gotta stop, but man, I'd like to keep going. You know it, don't you? So there's more to this. And I'd hope that this would be kind of like the last in this thing because we're moving into a new season and it's February and everything. And I thought, well, we'll just get off this thing, you know, that has to do with, because God kept speaking to me about the point, be pointed in this direction, the point of this. And now I got so many things on this now that we can't be done. Because you know what the point of the church is? Many people don't, so we're going to have to talk about that. Do you know what the whole point of God giving us grace is? Do you know why? If you don't know what the point is, then you're gonna twist it, misuse it, appropriate it for yourself. You're gonna mess it up if you don't know what it's for. What's the whole point? God could have withheld it. He gave it to us for a reason. What's the point? We don't know. So let's find out, okay? But now let's bow our heads and we'll start to wrap this up. We'll start to wrap this up. So, Father, I thank you that you are with us now by the power of the Holy Ghost. And, Lord, it's not your will that anybody should miss anything, but that we should walk in the light and walk in the truth and not be darkened in our understanding, not be misled. You don't want us to be in bondage to lies and deception and religion. Lord, you want us to understand the truth and to get the point of life, the point of relationships. You want us to understand what this is all for, what's really going on right now. There are things happening to us right now, and if we don't get the point, we're going to waste it. We're going to squander it. it's not going to be good. And it's supposed to be good. Even if the situation isn't, what comes out of it, by God's grace, is supposed to be good, but only if we get the point. Otherwise, we'll just feel sorry for ourselves. We'll be angry with God. And so, Lord, we ask you to help us. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we step back now and we're just going to be smart, and we're going to use wisdom, and we're going to start asking you some questions. Like, what's going on? And what's the point of this? And Lord, what is the point of that? Lord, show me what's going on so that I don't just see things with my natural eyes, but I see like you see, and I understand like you understand. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you're not saved this morning, if you've never given your life to Christ, we want to give you an opportunity to get saved. We want to give you an opportunity to get right with God. And if you'll come to the Lord today, you'll have that experience that we talked about, and we used that illustration of sticking our finger in a light socket, and God's got power that is just awesome. And when you touch him and he touches you, nobody's going to have to convince you that he's alive or real. Nobody's even going to have to follow up on you to make sure that you stay in church, because you're just going to have a mind-blowing experience with God that's going to change you forever. But if you've never received Christ, you're just going to be on the outside looking in. You're going to miss the whole point. You're here by God's will, by God's design, so that at some point in your life, like today, you would come to know the one who created you face to face. You would come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you don't know him and you want to receive him today, just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to get right with God. I want to get saved. I want to get right with God. You could be a person who got saved a while back, then you backslid. You want to rededicate your life to Christ. Just raise your hand. Looking for people in either place. I don't know the Lord, and I want to get saved. I know the Lord, and I backslid, and I want to get right. So wherever you are in the room today, just raise your hand, and we're going to pray for you, for God to touch your heart and change your life. We'll give you a moment just to think about it. And we pray for God's blessing over your life and for there to be a release of anything that would hold you back, any thoughts or any fears that would keep you from trusting God today and receiving Jesus as your Savior. We bind that in Jesus' name and release freedom and the grace of God for you to get right with God. Amen. You can all look at me. Praise the Lord. Did you get something out of this morning? Yes, sir. If you did, say amen. Amen. Did we miss one? Okay. I jumped the gun. I seldom do that, but I did just now. So who raised their hand? Could they do it again? Young man, would you stand right where you are? Would you mind doing that? Yeah, just stand up right where you are. Okay? So I want you to pray with me, and here's what we're going to do, and I want you to come up after the meeting is over. But everybody's going to join with him in prayer. There are probably some people that should stand like you're standing, but they're not, and they're going to pray this prayer. You're going to help them by just being obedient, like you're being. But we're going to pray with you right now, and I want you to just close your eyes so you don't be distracted by all the people that are around, because they're not looking at you right now, and their eyes are going to be closed, and they're going to be praying right along with you. And I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I receive Jesus as my Savior, as the Lord of my life. I confess Jesus as the one who died for my sins, and I turn from my sins, and I turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, give me a new mind and a new heart and a new direction in life. I surrender my pride. I surrender my will to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I put my trust in him to save me now from all of my sins. And Father, I give you thanks. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen.